Welcome back. It is the Chad Holmes Show, hour number two on this Friday. Raining again. It hasn't rained all week, but we're going to see some rain. It's going to start to cool down. It looks like it could be a bit of a wet weekend. Hope you had a chance to get out there and enjoy it this week with all this sunshine. And actually looking ahead as we get after this little bit of a blip where the temperatures drop below the normal, starts to get warm again. Not getting into global warming at this point, but it does seem like we're staying pretty warm here into the month of September, and it looks as though we're going to stay above normal for the most part as we continue in the next week or so. Coming up in this hour, again, it's a little bit of a different program as I'm on a bus right now heading up north with the Wausau West High School football team for their game against Kingsford tonight that we'll have live online at BullFallsRadio.com and the Sports 2 stream at 5:40. Marathon football against Assumption coming up at 4:30, but just a little bit of a different show since I'm on the bus heading up to Kingsford. We're taking a look back at a couple of interviews we had this week. We heard the interview with Katie Rosenberg, the Wausau mayor, just in the past hour, and we will go back to an interview we had with Tony Gonzalez a few days back as well, a Hispanic activist in the central Wisconsin area, coming up a little bit later on in this hour here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. Couple of news items as before we wrap up the week that I wanted to talk about, and this actually a couple of items that are from outside the area. I like to talk a lot about what's going on in the area, but a couple of things, and sometimes, you know, when things that happen outside the area do affect what happens anywhere. And one story that really disturbed me this week is that story out of Las Vegas, where Las Vegas Review Journal investigative reporter Jeff German was found stabbed outside his home last Saturday. And authorities have arrested the Clark County, which Clark County part is where Las Vegas is, Clark County Public Administrator Robert Tellis. And in fact, the latest story came out in the last day or so that there was some evidence continuing to mount DNA from Public Administrator Robert Tellis found on the scene of the death of the 69-year-old German. Authorities yesterday announced the single count of murder against Tellis in that event. Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo said this is a terrible and jarring homicide, one that has deeply impacted Las Vegas. And he says every murder is tragic, but the killing of a journalist is particularly troublesome. And that's it. It really is. I mean, and from everything that I've read, German, the investigative reporter for the Review Journal in Vegas, got the story right. He got the story right, and this man, Clark County Public Administrator Robert Tellis, didn't like it. And he had been on Twitter basically trying to defend himself, and it's just incredibly tragic. But it's at the same time, with the way that the media has been portrayed for the past, what, 5-6 years now, and I'm sure you all know it, enemy of the people, according to the former president of the United States. But the idea that this kind of response to a media story could occur is not shocking because of the way that the wick has been turned up by people like Donald Trump and many of his followers. The media is not the enemy of the people. The media is not the liberal media. I mean, if there's one thing that really gets under the skin is this idea that the media is liberal. If you look at the people that run the media, and I'm not just talking about Fox News, I'm talking about now CNN. There's a man named John Malone who has taken over. Well, he is one of the biggest shareholders in CNN. He says he's not involved in the day-to-day aspects, but anybody who is a follower of the media and a follower of CNN have seen what's been going on at CNN in recent months. They are starting to let go people that, people like John Malone, who is a self-described Fox News viewer. Before the takeover of CNN, he was on CNBC doing an interview talking about what he wanted to see with CNN after the takeover by Discovery. Discovery was the takeover, and he was a huge and is a huge stakeholder in Discovery and now CNN. He said he wanted to be more like Fox News. He is under the idea that Fox News is more of a moderating influence in the media than the old CNN. CNN, for a long time, has been true corporate media. They've tried to be in the middle. They've tried to be nice to all sides, but now they're taking it even further. The president of CNN, Chris Licht, and the interesting thing about Chris Licht is he is the former executive producer of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He came on board and basically turned things around for Colbert, who had struggled in the first year or so after taking over for David Letterman on CBS. And I think anybody that watches Stephen Colbert knows that he has been lethal and ruthless against Donald Trump over the years. Chris Licht was the man who was the executive producer. So you think going to CNN, he would have a certain point of view in terms of the dangers that have been reported on ad nauseum over the years. But no, he has actually paid visits to Washington to visit Republicans to try and make nice with the GOP and their leadership and say that CNN is going to be a nice place for them to come by, talk about the issues without not a whole lot of pushback. Just recently, Brian Stelzer, who wrote a book on Fox News, he was the host of Reliable Sources on CNN. He was let go. And the thing about that, wasn't a cost-cutting move. He still has 3 years on his contract at $1 million a year. Brian Stelzer is going to be fine. He's still going to be getting his $1 million a year for the next 3 years. But CNN takes off a show that focused on how the media treats these stories. And it was a highly rated program. So again, you're paying a guy not to work, taking off a show that was highly rated. It's obviously part of the new direction of CNN. So again, the idea of there's a liberal media is just such a fallacy, and it's something that I think a lot of folks need to stop seeing. Got to take a break. We're going to come back and again hear an interview we had earlier with Hispanic activist Tony Gonzalez coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we are going back to an interview we had a couple of days ago with Tony Gonzalez, talking about some Hispanic issues throughout the area and a whole bunch more. Again, I'm not in studio live today. I'm actually on a bus heading up to Kingsford, Michigan, as we have Wausau West Warrior football tonight against Kingsford. So I'll be back on the Sports 2 stream starting at 5:40 for the pregame. But glad you could join us here on this Friday as we get towards the weekend. But Tony Gonzalez joined us a couple of days ago, and here's some more of our conversation that we had with a very interesting guy. Tony Gonzalez here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
Oh, no. Well, thank you so very much for inviting me. This is so important to be able to talk to people and let them know how many hats I'm wearing.
let's talk a little bit about that. Talk about what are the main hats that you're wearing right now that are keeping you the busiest in your life?
Well, the busiest right now is really kind of moving forward the Hispanic organization that we've put together. It's called AHA, the American Hispanic Association. So, you know, it's the world of nonprofit, and it requires many different things to, you know, act legally and be a legal body, basically, and receive the grants that we would like to seek, so we are able to work for the Hispanic community, and you know, not just Wausau, not just Marathon County, but in reality we would end up being the only Hispanic group or association in North Central Wisconsin. So it's a big area. And also, you know, one of the things that is really working very well is we have what's called H2N, which is the Hispanic and Hmong Association, which I've been a proud part of since its inception, the beginning. And basically, you know, this started with H2N started with the thought of reaching a couple of underserved communities, the Hmong and the Hispanic community, with all the barriers that exist, you know, distance, language, fears, and all that, and give them information about, you know, what was going on with COVID and eventually the vaccine. And it's graduated into more care and related with health care, mental health. Mm. So as it grows, you know, there's more things to do. And my other job that has really kind of connected all this is I'm an interpreter. I have my interpreting business. Right. with a Hispanic outreach, which is going to be And so I'm all over the place. You know, there's a great need for interpreters, you know, and experienced interpreters. So matter of fact, today I was just in Appleton doing some work, and a lot of times I'm down in Portage and I cover all north central Wisconsin. But yeah, that takes a lot of time. And then, you know, we also have, I also lead along with my friend Carlos Barrientos, the Central Wisconsin Adult Soccer League. So, you know, we were taking care of that. We finished our season and our team, we won the championship, you know, which was very good. So, yeah, different. And obviously, you know, can't leave aside home duty, raising a six-year-old in this environment, which and in this great city that we live in, Wausau. So I'm very proud of all those. And I feel that it's all for the betterment, not only of my Hispanic community, but our overall community, you know, for all of us to be together.
I want to ask you a quick aside, because when you mentioned soccer and world football, who's your team? Who is the team that you follow maybe around the world the most?
Well, you know, I grew up in Colombia, so my team is called Millonarios, Millionaires, which they're not, because they can't hire nobody. But that's my that is my hardcore team. And, of course, in baseball, for all the Wisconsinites, listen there. I am an avid, hard New York Mets fan.
Well, finally a little bit to celebrate this year.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking to Tony Gonzalez, involved in so many aspects of Hispanic outreach in central Wisconsin here on the program on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. There's so many things, but in your first answer, something that you brought up that I think is crossing so many lines right now throughout the area and throughout the country, mental health. And you mentioned the fact that, and I remember during the summertime, it was a big event over at the 400 block, and I had a chance to talk with a couple of members of the Hmong community. Boy, when folks move here to central Wisconsin, as you said, wonderful place to live, but it's still such a long trip. It's such, there's so many different aspects to moving to a different country. None of those of us who were born and raised around this area really have no idea. Could you talk a little bit about those challenges where when you make such a big move, the mental health aspects, how important it is to try to keep people healthy in that way? Because if you're not mentally healthy, it's really hard to be successful in such a big move, right?
Absolutely. And this is what we've discovered with H2N, that, you know, just about every aspect in life touches upon mental health. Your ability to have a social life and know other people goes with your mental health. The ability to have steady work, the ability to earn a good living, the ability to maintain a job, all that is has to do with mental health. So, you know, speaking from the Hispanic community side, and in particular our greater number of community who come from Mexico and Central America, North Central Wisconsin is an incredibly challenging place. You know, the first thing that you're going to run into is transportation issues. How do you get to work? How do you get to the supermarket? How do you take your kids to school? And obviously, there's people that are do not have the fortune to have a driver's license for various reasons, and in particular, those reasons that are beyond any of their control. It's very difficult because you live in a constant state of fear. So it brings a lot of anguish, a lot of worry. The inability to communicate because you don't know the language, and not just because you do not want to learn the language, but because there is no schooling to be able to provide you that, which, by the way, H2N is doing right now, and we're helping with an ELL classes in both Abbotsford and here in Wausau. And also I've seen NTC is doing some of this work. But yeah, things like that. And obviously one of the hardest ones is that you are far away from your closest relatives, your mom, your dad. Many times it'll happen that, you know, one of them is sick back home, and you just know that you're not going to see him again. You know, so that obviously causes a lot of difficulty in people. And but, you know, I think it's no different than anybody in our community. Everybody has some kind of a pain or some kind of hardship and stuff. And I think the most important thing right now, based on your question, is, and I just was on Channel 9, matter of fact, yesterday, is there are resources that are becoming available. And also, I will happily say resources in Spanish because, you know, you don't want to call the suicide line and not be able to communicate. That's the last frustration that you would probably need at that moment. But I'm very happy to say that, you know, there are efforts made to make sure that any one of us, anyone that just breathes, there is help available. Seek the help. Your life's, everyone's lives is valuable. And we have a great community where we need to make sure that we take care of each other.
How long have you been in the Owosso, central Wisconsin area?
Well, in the central Wisconsin area, I've been here since 1998. I used to live up in Minocqua. And then here in the Owosso area, I'm going on 9 or 10 years perhaps. And I'll tell you with all my heart, and I'm a Air Force veteran. I traveled around the world. Owosso is my home. I love the city. I love this town. I love the people. But yeah, I've been here a little over 9 years.
And how has the Hispanic community grown in that time? Like, how big was the Hispanic community back when you first arrived in Wisconsin? And what is the, how big is the Hispanic community right now?
Well, I'll give you a little information. So when I was up in Minocqua, they had the 2000 census. Years later, and yeah, there was a whole four of us that they counted. they didn't even have to count it by race, just simply by name. It was just us. So, you know, of course, much less up there. But here in the Owosso area and Marathon County area, it's grown exponentially. You know, we've gone from, in Marathon County in particular, from the 2010 census where it said that there was a little over 4,000. Right now, we can easily say that we are increased at least on a 50%. What's hard to determine is, you know, based on the last census, skewed numbers came because a lot of people didn't report in because of fears that were put out there and stuff. But anywhere you go around here, when you go to a restaurant, just peek in the kitchen. When you are out about, you'll see people working. So it's been a large number of our Hispanic community growing here, and also of different Spanish nation origins. You know, we have a big influx of people from Nicaragua and Venezuela right now, and also in the Abbotsford area. There's been a large growth of our friends from Puerto Rico.
We got about 2 minutes before we take a break, and I want to kind of delve into, you've mentioned it a couple of times, the word fear. And I want to wait till after the break because we'll have a little bit more time to kind of go into that. But in terms of the growing community, before we take the break, I imagine that most of the folks that do move here to central Wisconsin must be incredibly grateful for the resources that you and your groups provide. I imagine that a pretty high percentage, one way or another, uses some of the resources.
Well, the numbers have been definitely growing as they know that we are active and working. So, definitely every day we're receiving more and more calls as people get to know what we do. And, we are very happy to be able to serve people and tell them about the resources they have available in this area. Because, you know, that really goes to the mental health and the wellness of our community to know what kind of help you can seek in any moment of trouble.
And I imagine just having some commonalities, like you say, somebody that may know about football in Columbia you can nod your head and get it. I imagine just getting together in that way has got to be huge, right?
Oh, no, it is a huge thing. I think one of the basic tenets, that one of the biggest columns of our project H2N and everything is without doubt the trusted messenger, somebody that you know, that looks like you, that's walked in your shoes. That doesn't mean that we all cannot relate, but I think as a natural thing as human beings, we tend to gravitate to somebody that looks like us. And if that person is able to build a bridge with everybody else, that's what we intend to do. So we are all in one.
Again, we are talking to Tony Gonzalez, Hispanic issues here throughout central Wisconsin again on this Friday afternoon. Going back, listening to a couple of our interviews to start off our program this week as I am on a bus heading to Kingsford, Michigan with the Owosso West football team this afternoon. So appreciate your patience. We'll be back again on Monday, live in studio from East Owosso Avenue. We'll be joined by Newman Catholic High School Principal Carl Fetch at 2:15. We'll talk to him about some of the education issues going on within the private schools and also what's going on at Newman Catholic. And then at 3:15 on Monday afternoon, we are going to get a chance to talk to the Secretary of State of Wisconsin and also one of the great family names in Wisconsin political history, Douglas La Follette. Of course, the latest itineration of the La Follette name in Wisconsin, going all the way back to Fighting Bob La Follette as well. So Carl Fetch at 2:15 and Douglas La Follette at 3:15 Monday here on the program. We're going to have more of our discussion with Tony Gonzalez coming up after we take a break. It's the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, you can catch us online at bowfallsradio.com. And mobile devices and Alexa, just say, find me, WXCO. Joined again by Tony Gonzalez, American Hispanic Association. I know so many other organizations, Hispanic Outreach, talking to Tony here for another segment. I said before the break that you said the word fear a couple of times. Could you talk about some of those issues involved within the community that you hear about, and maybe expand on it in terms of what the situation is, how maybe the incredible difficulties that society's had in recent years has probably even added to that?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, there's many many fears, and basically comes down to the fact that a huge number of our workforce, in particular here in the dairy farms, which make up at least 70% Hispanic workers, work in these farms today. And a large number of those individuals, everybody knows that it's the elephant in the room, are people that are undocumented. So, you know, with this stigma that's been attached and with this rhetoric and narrative that, you know, all these criminals are coming across, you know, there's no question that we need regulation and we need to take care of who comes in and stuff. But the vast majority of people that come are good people, willing to work, with incredible work ethic and with values that are very similar to people that are natural to the United States. And I mean Native American and whoever's here. You know, all the narratives start, you know, with the push that, you know, that they're taken from you and stuff like that. So, you know, the media through other sections was always trying to put this fear, you know, don't put your face out there because we're going to deport you. Don't be counted because you don't belong here. You are taking our jobs and stuff like that. So people really, you know, were very afraid to even look for resources when they needed. And like I said, it's very unfair because, you know, some say that it's applying the law is not a racist thing. And I second that. Applying the law is not a racist. It is racist and hateful when you apply the law unilaterally. You know, they try so hard and they attack so much the undocumented or illegal. I don't care about the narrative. They attack them because they're here. But yet they're working in the farms and all the industries. And those people that are hiring them and everything never face any consequence. Neither do they step up to help the situation. So if they, too, were facing penalties, I bet at this time they'd probably be stepping up so that people would not be undocumented or illegal here. So, yeah, there's a lot of fear because there was many situations that happened in different parts of the country where there was not a good face to immigration because of the acts of the few. But this goes for every area, you know, even with law enforcement. You know, our law enforcement, and in particular, I would say about our law enforcement in Marathon County and Wausau area, we have incredible leaders that make sure that their forces act fairly and everything. But every once in a while, in any department anywhere in the country, you're going to get that one bad element. And all of a sudden, because of that one bad element, all the police becomes not good, and that's not fair. And likewise with immigration, the numbers will show that the vast majority of people that come here are good people, want to work, they don't want to hurt anybody, they just want to contribute. And if our federal representatives would get off their chair and start and from those that have an R or a D next to them and do something serious about immigration, it would be nothing but a good profit for our whole country. First of all, and this is, I will quote Pastor Jeff Todd, first of all, because we're taking care of human beings. Secondly, because it's important for our economy, people that want to work in our area. We need and look for the workers. And so if people would do what is right to do, we would not live in this situation. And then you would have a better ally that it's your community to get rid of any bad element in any area.
And actually reminds me when I mentioned I was, you know, reading some stuff on you, and you were involved in a group from the speaker, Robin Voss, on racial disparities task force. And I think it was in that article that there was a quote from you that said, "Lay the ground of what's common and how do we find solutions?" And I think if it, at every level of government, if you can live by those words, you can get something done, no matter whether you have an R in front of you or a D in front of you, right?
Right. It doesn't matter. I mean, R or D simply means the way by which we want to get to a point. Too bad they just can't agree with that. But, yeah, we have more things in common that we do that differ us. We want a good community. We want a prosperous community. We want our families to live well. We want to be able to go out on the street and not fear anything. I think anybody with a right mind, that's what they want. And yes, I had the fortune of being one of 28 citizens around the state of Wisconsin to serve in the Speaker Voss's task force on racial disparities. I was a part of the subcommittee of law enforcement policies and standards alongside with another local gentleman, Pastor Yao Yang. And yeah, we were able to address many of the things that were going on with the police, such as qualified immunity, non-knock warrants, and things like that, all with the goal to really build that trust bridge again between law enforcement and our community. And we were very proud to be a part of that and really get some determinations that hopefully in the long term will be very helpful to our communities.
We're again talking to Tony Gonzalez, the Hispanic Outreach here in Central Wisconsin on the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. I want to kind of go back a little bit because you were mentioning again talking about some of the undocumented. And I think this goes along with your service on the speaker's task force as well. You've had a chance to work within the system. You were trying to work to get undocumented immigrants, driver's licenses, ID cards. When you talk to people about some of these issues, which when we hear about them in the media, because it's a very hot button topic, you may hear things differently than maybe when you sit down in a closed room with some of the representatives that are involved in. What do you hear when you talked about an issue such as that with some of the people that can make things happen?
Well, you know, from the side of law enforcement and our law enforcement has supported here, we hear the desire of and the importance to make sure that people have some sort of valid identification, because whoever it is, you want to know who you're dealing with. And as you speak with people and really kind of break down the situation to the real numbers and everything, I think in the vast majority, people will like to see something done, something that is effective and something that will benefit the community. So, you know, when you're talking in private with many of the people, they really show the desire of getting something done. As a matter of fact, I had the opportunity in this task force to speak, and I forgot his name right now, but he is the head of the Wisconsin Police Association, Wisconsin's Police Association. Mm-hmm. Great gentleman. Matter of fact, he is from Wausau, serving down in Madison. And he was telling me that the vast majority of sheriffs in the 72 counties in Wisconsin support measures that would help undocumented or illegal, whatever, be identified, because from the point of view of law enforcement, they want to have a relationship with the community that's there. It doesn't matter who's there. You know, it's for the federal government to take care of immigration. Local law enforcement takes care of our local security, of how we live here in our town and everything. And they don't have the time to implement immigration law. They just want to have citizens that are ready to number one, follow the rules, and number two, be vigilant and able to talk with trust to law enforcement to make sure that our community is a safe community. So that means if illegal Mr. X sees a crime, he can come to law enforcement and report that without any fear of like, oh, sir, you're illegal, undocumented, I'm going to deport you. They don't want that. They want to really build a relationship with the community, and I'm very proud to say that our local law enforcement, Sheriff Parks, Deputy Billups, and also from the Wausau Police, Ben Bliven, have been incredible advocates of this, that we are all together and let the federal government hope that the federal government does something substantial.
I'm a student of history, and immigration has been part of this country's history one way or another, it seems like, for centuries. It is, and I think it's been more stagnant in recent decade. You know, there's been talk about comprehensive reform. I mean, Senator McCain was part of that, and he's been dead for now for a few years.
Yes.
He was saying, no, I mean, that's how long it's been. I mean, where it's been talked about and talked about and talked about, and there's almost a fear, I would say, probably on both sides, that if you try to move at all, you're going to get a backlash. I mean, it's really, it feels like it's stuck in concrete. Is that how you see it as well?
Immigration has been a political football forever. Neither one of the two parties has done anything really valuable towards immigration. They'll use it just the time of elections to either say, we're getting rid of all immigrants.
Scare tactics.
And fear them. And the other side uses, hey, they're opening the door and the floodgates and everybody's coming in. If you go down to Patagonia, there's no more Hispanics because it's been shaken all into the United States. So that's the kind of fears. But yeah, it's been a political football over and over, and it needs to stop. You know, since, my God, since the Mayflower came, it's a good thing that they didn't ask them for papers, because otherwise this nation wouldn't even exist.
We laugh because it hurts, actually.
It hurts. Like, you know? We are immigrants, absent of Native Americans. All of us came here, or our grandparents or our great-grandparents came from somewhere else and made this country the great country it is, as well as a contribution of immigrants from all over the world. It depends when the immigration laws were,
yeah. You
know, but, you know, in the 80s is when we had that reform by President Reagan, but there was some non-savvy moves that were made at that point that maintain the status quo right now and the difficulty in immigration. I would say it has become more of a political interest not to do something effective for both parties.
And the thing about it as well, every study, I shouldn't say every study, most studies that I've seen prove that immigrants provide so much in this country. I mean, financially, intellectually, because of the talent that comes into this country, the hard work, the work ethic. If you look at the facts, there's really no question, is there?
There is no question. Even I'll speak from the side of my Hispanic community. The entrepreneurship is huge. Hispanics are very likely to start new businesses. And the workforce, you know, I constantly get phone calls from different places saying, hey, we need some his. And I'm telling you, they're not just get me some workers, it's get me some Hispanic workers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is important. It is a fact. And we just need to really shake off all this dumb talk and fears. Look at what the reality is. Go to the farms. Go to the businesses. You see who's working. Get together. And again, like I said, there's no better partner that you will have in combating the fears that are put into immigration than having a community that works together and gets rid of the bad elements altogether. So the solutions are at hand. It's just simply, you know, like we said earlier, this political football, it's deplorable. It's sad. And it's not going to get us nowhere. And we need to fix it. We need to fix it. And you know what? We need to start at a local level, because unfortunately, not only is Washington miles away, but they're light years away from doing something that is good as far as immigration. So locally, with what control we may have to help workers get to work, and people get to schools and use services, we need to take some measures right here that we can help these communities and boost our local economies.
That was Tony Gonzalez. Again, terrific interview subject. We'll have Tony back on again very soon. So much more to talk about. Again, coming up on Monday, two more great guests at 2:15. We'll be joined in studio live by Carl Fetch, the Newman Catholic High School principal. And then at 3:15, we'll be joined by Douglas LaFollette, the Wisconsin Secretary of State, who's running for re-election in November. We got to take a break. Come back with more. Chad Holmes Show here on a Friday on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back. Final segment here on this Friday afternoon, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO. This is one of my favorite songs. Pete Townsend, solo effort from The Who, Give Blood, and it's a fantastic song. If you've never listened to it, go to YouTube or go to wherever you may get your music. And take a listen to Pete Townsend. I think some of his 80s solo stuff is as good as anything he's ever done. So one of the nice things about the program, every time that we come back out of a break, I get to choose whatever bumper music that we want to hear and get a sense of what I like, and hopefully you like as well. Don't forget, coming up not too long from now at 4:30, Tom Weaver will be on the air. I'll have the pregame show as the Marathon High School football team will take on the Assumption Royals. Marathon 2-1 overall, 1-0 in conference. Assumption 2-1 overall, 1-0 in conference. 4:30 for the pregame, 5 o'clock for the opening kickoff. Again, an unusual time in terms of the kickoff, because in Wisconsin Rapids today there are two games. You got the Assumption Royals hosting one at 5 o'clock, and then after that, Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln hosting Stevens Point. So a busy day of high school football over at Southwood County Field. Also, I am on the bus heading over to Kingsford, Michigan for the Wausau West Warriors. Boy, great start for Wausau West. A couple of exciting games the last 2 weeks. 21-20 come from behind win 2 weeks ago against DePere. Last week, they trailed Rapids 17-6 at halftime, came back to win 20-17. So the Warriors, 3-0 overall. They are, again, a long road trip, non-conference game against Kingsford, Michigan. That game can be heard live online. Go to bowfallsradio.com. Click on the Sports 2 stream starting at 5:40 for the pregame and the kickoff at 6 o'clock. So hope you can join me there on bowfallsradio.com Sports 2 stream starting at 5:40. And again, that game can also be heard on delay at approximately 7:30 right after the Marathon High School broadcast here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Before we wrap it up, one of the stories that's been out there for, you know, since January 6th is the fight for democracy. And I think that people who are so inward-looking, when you just look at things that are happening in this country, you got to look outside as well. Things that happen in other countries that don't have what we hope are the freedoms here in the United States of America. And I came across a story earlier in the week from Politico, and a man named Ravil Maganov, he was the chairman of Lukoil, Russia's second largest oil producer and one of the few Russian companies to criticize the war in Ukraine. When I say what I'm going to say, you're going to say, nah, this can't happen. You know it can happen. This man, Ravil Maganov, has died after falling out of a hospital window. He fell out of a hospital window. The chairman of Russia's second largest oil producer in a hospital died falling out of a window. Interfax is a Russian news agency. They cited an informed source who said that Maganov died after falling from the sixth floor window of Moscow's Central Clinical Hospital. The 67-year-old oil tycoon was being treated for a heart condition, according to Russian media. The story goes on to note several other recent deaths that are, to use a phrase that some people use when they're feeling like they're getting poured over by something. It's the damnedest thing. It's like this is insane. I mean, and again, there have been other recent deaths that just seem from a movie or from a novel. I mean, this is one of the wealthiest men in Russia, a powerful man, but he had the gall to criticize the war in Ukraine, and then he dies falling out of a hospital window. And why I bring this up is, when you look at it, that's what happens when you have the kind of government you have in Russia. I mean, it's so tragic that after the Cold War, after the fall of the Berlin Wall, after the crumbling of the Soviet Union, the thought that maybe Russia could have a working, functioning democracy that works well with their neighbors in Europe, works well with the United States, and then this guy, this former KGB agent, Vladimir Putin, comes into power and basically changes the rules so he can become president for life, basically, and now goes into Ukraine. And again, the thing that boggles the mind about this Ukraine thing, Ukraine was not going to do anything to Russia. They're just mad because Ukraine had relationships with Europe and the United States and potentially NATO, and Russia goes in there to try and take it over. It's just insane. But the point being I'm trying to make here is, here in the United States, if we don't push back against the election conspirators, if we don't push back against the Donald Trump that he should be immediately reinstated as president of the United States because he doesn't believe in the election results with no evidence, if we continue down that line where people close their eyes to the truth and just decide that Donald Trump or people like Trump are the chosen ones, we're going to go down that line. How easy can it be once you get that power? Once you get that power, that's what happened nearly 100 years ago in Germany. Once Hitler got the power, he was able to make it grow and grow and grow until he was untouchable. Putin supposedly wins by winning elections, but now he's consolidated his power and is untouchable. So again, that's why being involved, making sure that your voice is heard, is so very important. Monday, we'll have a couple of guests, 2:15, Newman Catholic High School principal Carl Fetch, and then at 3:15, Wisconsin Secretary of State and a member of a legendary Wisconsin family will be talking to Doug La Follette. So have yourselves a great weekend. Make sure you tune in again on Monday from 2 to 4, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.